VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, Dan Friedel gives an update on the coup in Niger. Brian Lynn has a story about a method of artificial intelligence that created 6 language versions of a K-pop song. John Russell has this week's Everyday Grammar on phrasal verbs you might use at the library. Later, we continue our National Park series and head to Shenandoah in Virginia. But first,
Wednesday's attempt by military members to seize power in Niger puts the West African country's security into question. A group of soldiers said late Wednesday they had ousted democratically elected President Mohamed Bazoum. Earlier Wednesday, however, the president's Twitter account released a message saying he and his family were safe. It said other military members planned to support the president. The leadership situation in Niger creates a question of what will happen to the West African country that is campaigning against religious extremism. Western nations, including France and the U.S., have considered Niger to be a democratic ally. Both countries have about 1,000 soldiers in Niger. The soldiers are there to support the country if it is attacked by Islamic extremist fighters. France has been active in the area, offering similar support to the nearby countries of Mali and Burkina Faso. The French soldiers, however, left Mali in late 2022 after tensions with the country's military leadership. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Niger in March. He called the country a model of democracy. Blinken announced $150 million in aid while he was there. The military leaders of Mali and Burkina Faso use the Russian Wagner Group for military support. The concern is that Niger will do something similar, removing any Western influence from the area. Paul Melly is an Africa expert at the Chatham House Research Group in London. Before the military action on Wednesday, he said, Niger had been open to working with international partners. So quite a lot is at stake here, he added. Melly pointed to one important difference between what is happening in Niger and other nations in the area whose leaders have been ousted. In Guinea, Mali, and Burkina Faso, the people on the streets supported the military coup. In Niger, Melly said, that was not what happened. People were supporting Bazoum, the president. Western nations are concerned about Niger because they have used the country as an operations base in actions against extremist fighters. The concern is that a leadership change in Niger will limit what Western countries can do to fight terrorist groups in West Africa and the Sahel. The Sahel is the area south of the Sahara Desert. In 2021, the United States said it had supported Niger with over $500 million of military aid and training since 2012. Earlier in 2023, the European Union started a $30 million training program in Niger. The U.S. is known to have a drone base it uses to fight militant extremists in the northern part of Niger. John Manley is a spokesman for the U.S. Africa Command. He said it is too soon to know how the coup attempt in Niger will affect U.S. activities in the country. Other African nations say they are worried that the fighting in the northern part of West Africa will move south. Omar Touré is president of the ECOWAS Commission. ECOWAS is the economic group formed by 15 West African nations. Touré recently told the United Nations that extremist fighting could move into Ghana and Ivory Coast if Niger loses Western support. West African nations say there were about 1,800 extremist attacks this year, resulting in almost 4,600 deaths, mostly in Burkina Faso and Niger. I'm Dan Friedel.
A South Korean music production company is using a method of artificial intelligence to create different language versions of pop music songs. The company using the method is HYBE. The company represents and produces music for some of South Korea's top pop music performers. Korean pop music is also known as K-pop. The AI method combines voice recordings of South Korean pop stars with recordings of song lyrics read by native speakers of other languages. The process aims to produce complete K-pop songs in multiple languages. Officials at HYBE say the method does not change the singer's natural voice. Instead, it uses AI to produce different language versions of the same song. In May, the AI method successfully created a song by K-pop singer Midnat in six languages: Korean, English, Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, and Vietnamese. The 40-year-old artist, whose real name is Lee Hyun, recorded the song Masquerade in each language. Chung Woo Young is the head of HYBE's interactive media department. He explained the creation process to reporters with Reuters news agency. He said the process involved dividing groups of sounds into separate elements. These included things like pronunciation, voice tone, and sound level. Wu Yang added that the technical team's members then used their imagination to see what kind of results they could get from the technology. HYBE says the deep learning method permitted a first in the music industry, releasing the same song in multiple languages at the same time. The song is the latest sign of the growing influence of AI in the music industry. AI-produced music has been flooding online music services and social media in recent months. The American-based Grammy Awards recently introduced new rules for AI-created music. In general, the rules aim to protect the music of human creators over works created by AI systems. Wu Yang said Hybe is currently considering how to use the AI method in its future music production operations. He noted the technology could be provided to other music creators and the public. Wu Yang did not say whether the company would charge others to use the system in the future. Midnot said using the AI method had given him a wider spectrum of artistic expressions. He added, "I feel that the language barrier has been lifted, and it's much easier for global fans to have an immersive experience with my music." While the technology is not new, this method demonstrates a new way to use AI in music, said Valerio Velardo. He is the director of The Sound of AI, a Spain-based company that advises organizations on AI music and audio development. Velardo added that he thinks such methods can help professional musicians and the general public in the future. "It's going to lower the barrier of music creation," he said. "It's a little bit like Instagram for pictures, but in the case of music." For now, Hybe's AI method takes weeks or months to do its job, said Masquerade producer Che Jin Woo, who also uses the name Hitchhiker. However, he noted that when the process speeds up, it could serve a wider range of purposes, such as interpreting languages in video conferences. I'm Brian Lin.
Imagine you are at a library, a place where books, movies, and other publications are available to borrow. What kinds of terms and structures would you need to know in order to express yourself well at a library? In today's Everyday Grammar, we will explore one possible answer to that question: phrasal verbs. Phrasal verbs are groups of words made up of a verb and another short word or words. Together, these groups of words mean something different from what the individual words suggest. As a result, you can think of phrasal verbs as kinds of special expressions. We will now explore three phrasal verbs that connect to the library: look up, look for, and check out. Our first phrasal verb is look up. Look up means to search for something in a reference book, publication, or on the internet. We often use a noun or noun phrase after look up. For example, you might say,
"I need to look up an article."
Or,
"I need to look up a news story."
Or,
"I need to look up that word in the dictionary."
Our second phrasal verb is look for. Look for means to try to find something or to search for something. Look for is often followed by a noun or noun phrase. You might look for general things or specific things. For example, if you wanted to find science fiction books at the library, you could say,
"I am looking for science fiction books."
If you wanted to find an exact book, you might say something like this:
I am looking for Dune by Frank Herbert.
Our third phrasal verb is check out. Check out means to borrow something from a library. So you might say,
I went to the library to check out new books.
Or,
I checked out a book from the library.
So we have our three phrasal verbs for the library: look up, look for, and check out. We can think of these phrasal verbs as taking place in steps. Perhaps look up is step one, look for is step two, and check out is step three. For example, you might look up book reviews. After you read a book review that covers an interesting book, you might look for the book itself. After you find the book, you might check out the book. Let's take some time to work with these ideas. Imagine you have a book that you want to borrow from the library. How can you ask to borrow it? Use the phrasal verb, check out. Pause the audio to consider your answer. Here is one answer.
Can I check out this book?
In today's report, we explored some useful phrasal verbs for the library. There are other phrasal verbs for the library, but the three we explored today are probably the most common ones you will find. I'm John Russell.
You just heard this week's Everyday Grammar lesson from John Russell. John joins us now to talk a little bit more about the program.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show.
The main idea of your lesson today was to connect an area of grammar with a location. In this case, the library. Are there other places that you connect with different areas of grammar?
I always like to connect grammar points with the real world. These connections make the grammar more memorable and serve to remind us that certain kinds of language are more important in different kinds of situations. So, here is another example. The bank.
What area of grammar connects with banks?
I connect the transitive verb pattern with banks. A transitive verb is one that takes a direct object. So, think of all of this important language you need at a bank. I need to withdraw $50. I would like to deposit $100. I want to transfer $5.
Withdraw here is the transitive verb. $50 is the direct object. Deposit is the verb, $100 is the direct object, and so on.
That's right.
Thanks again for talking to us today, John.
Thank you for having me on the show.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Today, on our National Parks journey, we visit a mountainous landscape on America's East Coast. Within the park are rocky peaks, rolling green hills, and spectacular waterfalls. It is also home to hundreds of black bears. Welcome to Shenandoah National Park, in the state of Virginia. Shenandoah sits in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The mountains are part of the larger Appalachian Mountain Range.
the park's hiking trails, waterfalls, and wildlife appeal to nature lovers and adventurers. Shenandoah National Park is perhaps best known for the road that goes through it, Skyline Drive.
Skyline Drive runs nearly 170 kilometers north to south. It is the only road in the park. There are more than 70 overlooks along the way, where people can pull their car off the road. These overlooks provide visitors with beautiful views of the Shenandoah Valley. The road was built in the 1930s, at a time when the automobile was becoming popular. Shenandoah's north entrance lies less than 120 kilometers from Washington, D.C. Early planners wanted a major national park like those in the American West, here on the East Coast, close to big cities. In fact, Shenandoah was described as an Eastern park in the Western tradition. And early park planners wanted Skyline Drive to be the single greatest feature of the park.
Denise Machado is a park ranger at Shenandoah. She explains that the park soon became a place for people to escape the noise and heat of big cities.
It was created just so people could kind of get away, a place to escape the big city and the hustle and bustle, the pre-air-conditioned days. You know, this was the place to be. The temperatures were about 10 degrees cooler up here on the mountain.
But Shenandoah's history is not without controversy. To create the place that park planners envisioned, many families were forced to leave behind properties in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah National Park was formed from more than 3,000 individual land purchases. They were presented to the federal government by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Shenandoah officially became a national park in 1936. Today, most of the buildings and structures that once stood in the area are long gone, but you can find some signs of the past. A log building called Corbin Cabin still stands. George Corbin, who built the log structure, was forced to leave the land in the late 1930s, just after the creation of the national park. Today, the cabin is operated by the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club. The club permits people to rent the cabin.
Shenandoah National Park has more than 800 kilometers of hiking trails. They take visitors to rocky mountain peaks, grassy meadows, and forested canyons. Hikers are especially drawn to the park's famous waterfalls.
The waterfalls are definitely the most popular. We have 9 waterfalls. Dark Hollow Falls is our most popular. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's a 70-foot waterfall. It's a 1.4-mile hike round trip. It follows along a stream, and you're right at the base of the falls looking up, and you can feel the spray, and, you know, it's a really great experience.
Grace Williams hiked to Dark Hollow Falls with her daughter on her birthday.
My daughter's gift for me to bring me to the national park, and it's on my bucket list. So I always love falls. I like the sound. Water is refreshing. So they did tell us it's a kind of like a moderate hike. I do have knee problems, but I just wanted to challenge it, and I'm glad I came. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Another of Shenandoah's famous hikes is called Old Rag. It is almost 15 kilometers long. To get to the top of Old Rag Mountain, hikers must scramble up large rocks. It is a long and difficult hike. But the views from the top bring hikers from all across the country and world.
Because it is close to many big cities, Shenandoah's trails are often crowded with people. More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Although Shenandoah was created to be an easy escape from big East Coast cities, today it sees visitors from all over the world.
It's amazing how many people you meet that come from far-flung countries and corners of the world. We've had people from Africa. We get a lot of people from Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands. So you just never know where they're going to come from.
Machado says summer and fall are the most popular times to visit the park. While summer is a good time to enjoy the waterfalls, the fall brings beautiful autumn colors. In the middle of October, the trees begin to lose their leaves. The leaves change from green to different shades of yellow, orange, and red as winter approaches. On weekends in October, it can take up to 2 hours just to get into the park.
Visitors to Shenandoah National Park have a good chance of seeing a black bear. The park is home to between 400 to 600 black bears. It has one of the densest black bear populations of any national park. Denise Machado knows a lot about these black bears. In fact, her nickname is the Bear Lady.
Well, I am known in Shenandoah as the Bear Lady. I see a lot of bears every season. I'm in the park early in the morning, late in the evening. I see anywhere from, 400 or so bears every year. And it's wonderful to see. I never get tired of seeing them. They're all different and they're all special.
Machado gives visitors advice for what to do if they see a black bear.
So if you see a bear, you want to clap your hands, say, hey, bear. They really don't like to be startled. You don't want to try and sneak up on them to get a photo or anything. You want to make sure that they are totally aware you're there.
Malachi and his older brother Brent visited Shenandoah National Park with their parents. The family traveled here from Cincinnati, Ohio. The family hiked the Little Stony Man Trail. Along the way, they came upon a black bear.
I really liked how we could see the animals. We saw a really big bear, and he was really friendly, and he didn't do anything. He was just eating.
The park's bears and other wildlife are a big part of what attracts so many visitors to Shenandoah. Carol Bear and her husband visited the park from York, Pennsylvania. She said visiting Shenandoah is like a breath of fresh air.
It's just quieter. You hear the birds, you look at trees different. The wind blowing through the fields is just really neat.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you.
I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Adam Brock.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.